to call the March 9th Recreation and Parks Commission meeting to order, and we will have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our public comment period, but since we have no members of the public here, we'll have a very short public comment period. Oh, roll call, excuse me.
Good evening, Commission. Commissioner House?
Here.
Commissioner Munoz?
Here.
Commissioner Mahan?
Here.
Commissioner Hensley?
Here.
Chair Winter?
Here.
We have absent Commissioner Solu, and we have a new commissioner, Christy Hale, and she is also absent this evening.
Okay. Well, we still don't have public here, so we'll dispense with the public comment period. And we'll go down to approval of the minutes of the February 9th meeting. Do I have a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? No. So we approve the minutes. Next, we will go to announcements.
I do have several announcements. Thank you. First, good evening, commissioners. The following night, March 17th, we're having Dixon's annual spaghetti dinner. We're expecting quite a number of people. Something a little bit different this year is that the art will be displayed during the spaghetti dinner, and you to bid on the artwork during the spaghetti dinner, so there'll be a chance there to bid on some great artwork during the spaghetti dinner event. And then rounding out the weekend on Saturday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., we're having the final art show reception, which will be the last time to bid on any artwork that one might be interested in. Just to remind the commission and the audience, the proceeds from both the spaghetti dinner and the art show go to the amount was recently raised, so for most scholarships, we give up to 75% of the program's cost, so that is some great amounts for some of the programs here, and the scholarships are available to children who reside in Morro Bay, as well as those who reside in Los Osos and Cayucas, so we strongly hope that people participate. I also would like to say that we've got some great posters. Our art show poster was actually designed by Howard Klein. He's a local artist in Cambria, and we are selling raffle tickets for a signed copy of the art show poster. So a lot of things going on. Join us this upcoming week and weekend for some great fun, great spaghetti, and some great artwork. I think that those are my announcements today. Yes. Yes, at the Chamber Mixer Spaghetti Dinner and the final art show.
Any other questions of Andrea? Okay. There were about 40 to 50 people in attendance from most, I would say, most of the commissions in the county. There was a panel on how to be an effective commissioner, and it was mostly common sense type things. Show up to meetings, do your homework, talk to members of your city council and other leaders in the community about park and recreation issues. Try to disseminate information relative to park and recreation issues to people in the community to get them involved with the issues so that they would become involved with city leaders to bring these issues to the front, because it's so easy for park and recreation issues to get lost in the shuffle of competition with firefighters and police, and we know that those are important issues, but recreation and parks issues have an important place also, especially with respect to servicing our youth and children in the community. We then went on a tour, a bus tour of the coast, starting with the Piedras Blancas Motel, I guess, which I'm not quite sure, but I think the Trust for Public Land purchased it for $3.5 million, and they have a 3-year mortgage that they have to raise funds to pay it off. It's part of the effort to have the whole coast. They sell tours through, you can, through the Hearst Castle. They'll set it, you call there and you can arrange to tour the Piedras Blancas Lighthouse. So we didn't get to go in. We just got to sit on the benches outside and have a picnic lunch, and we even saw whales. So it was very nice. And then we went to see the elephant seals. So I would say we also talked about the interrelationships of the different entities that are involved with one piece of property. For example, at the lighthouse, Bureau of Land Management and State Parks, and I can't remember who else. State is involved with that one piece of property, and how you have to clear everything between all three to get any kind of cooperation to get onto the property. It was a very nice day, and hopefully the next commission workshop will be as much fun, and other people will get to go to next year around the same time, I think.
We generally try to do it on an annual basis, and generally it's in February, because it seems like even though February might be rainy, it's a quiet time for other events, so we can plan on for February. The other thing I'd throw out to the commission is if there's a
Recreation and Parks element for the general plan is going before the County Planning Commission in May. And maybe Andrea can.
Yeah, the County Parks and Recreation element, they're updating their element. They've been working on this program for a number of years, actually, and they've got a public draft that's actually available on their website, the county website, and you can take a look at that. But it deals with the unincorporated areas in the county, and you might say, well, Morro Bay is incorporated, so it doesn't really matter. But it really deals with all the areas around us, and it's an important document. The public review process has started, and the first meeting, as Commissioner Winter said, is May 11th at 8:45, and that's a joint Planning Commission, County Planning Commission, County Parks Commission meeting. It starts at 8:45 in the morning. It's at the County Government Center. And it's first of a couple of meetings at the Planning Commission. Once those comments are taken, they'll go back to staff and incorporate those comments, and then it'll end up at the Board of Supervisors. They're hoping sometime in early to mid-summer. So we'll keep you updated on that process and keep you informed on those meetings. But it's something definitely that's important. And if you have time to take a look at that draft element, it is on the website.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions about this meeting? Okay. Now, yeah, Jeff.
You can go to, if you put in SLO County Parks, and then just follow the information there, and they've got the public review. And I think it's 54 pages, so it's pretty lengthy, and it deals with all the areas of the county. So, for instance, if you weren't interested in what... This is an item that we've talked about in prior years at the commission level, and I wanted to bring it up again to the commissioners and see what your feelings was on this item. As I said, several years ago, this commission decided... and discuss the importance of having a commissioner at city council meetings when we had issues relating to recreation parks that we were taking forward to the city council, especially when the commission, really only when the commission made a recommendation on those items. There are a couple options that, or a couple of reasons why that's important. Number one, the commissioner that's present, while staff is forwarding the recommendation and certainly is there for that purpose, it is important, I think, to have a recreation parks commissioner's stand during the public comment section and just reiterate that the commission is bringing forward this recommendation and maybe give a little bit of information in the 3 minutes that are allotted for the commissioners. The other idea, and it would obviously entail staying longer at the meeting, and depending on what the item was, it may or may not be the best thing to do, is that oftentimes if there is a commissioner present,
the city council has a specific question about the discussion that took place at the commission meeting, a commissioner may be asked questions. And it's certainly worthwhile, it's helpful to staff, because while staff writes the staff report and certainly can ask the questions, I think sometimes the city council is looking for the commission's viewpoint and how the discussion went. So what we're asking tonight is not to designate a commissioner to attend all city council meetings, but we're asking that generally we're aware a month in advance when we're taking items forward to the city council. And perhaps we can agendize in our staff, on our staff, as staff reports, request for a
Stan?
Well, I have a comment. Although all of us are actually free to go to the council meetings, you know, and if something concerns us, we certainly can, and I'm sure it is helpful to staff. Let's take the dog park, for instance. This is an example. We've spent 2 or 3 years working on the dog park. We've sent up at least 2 recommendations to the council. We've had minutes, numerous minutes, at least 6 or 7 meetings that we've had minutes in the city council. We've had public hearings. We've got public access television. The meetings are on constantly, 24 hours a day, I think. And I believe the city council has a way of knowing what's going on at these meetings without somebody being designated to go in. And then we have staff who is supposed to tell the city council what goes on at these meetings, and when they do, if they don't want to take our advice, well, that's certainly their prerogative, but to think that having one of us there after all these meetings to answer questions, which we're certainly more than able to do, and many of us do go anyway, but you would only be giving that person's perception of what went on at the meeting unless it was legal, because she is the spokesperson for this committee. Because everybody sees these meetings differently. I just have a hard time seeing what more the city council, and I'm just going on the dog park as an example, what more the city council needs to make a decision.
I think that one of the things that we've seen, she's basically going to relay not her feeling, but this was the commission's recommendation. So, from staff's perspective, I think it would be helpful. Certainly, I can understand your perspective, but I think that the more information, the more size of information that are presented, it certainly can't hurt. I think the dog park is kind of a tough example because, interestingly enough, that was not intended to be an action item at the city council last month at the last meeting. It ended up into an action item, which we're going to address a little bit in our staff's report. So that's kind of an oddball almost.
I think basically the way we done it in the past was when we knew an item was going to go to city council, we would talk about it at the prior meeting and we would reiterate what our position was, and then someone, usually I think the chair went and other commissioners who were interested would go unless the chair wasn't able to go. So, you know, as long as I'm free, I would be glad to do that. But I would feel better if other commissioners also came. It was an important item.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you that I would rather add some more money to our opinion as a commission. Whatever we can add, more information would hurt.
And the council will do whatever it decides it wants to do anyway. So.
And I hope people realize that it's not, they're not going to get any more pressure by us being there. They're going to get more pressure by the people who want these things done being there. We're just
I believe if you're speaking, as many commissioners can speak as they want. I believe that's a Brown Act issue to just speak. I think where you could get in trouble is, for instance, if there was an item that came up and the vote was 5-1, and you were the one, and you got up and spoke as a Recreation Parks Commissioner advocating for your one vote, because we would want to take forward the recommendation, whether it was unanimous or not. So that's, I think, where it might get odd. Other than that, now is when people can speak.
Okay, because I thought only a few did less commission than the rest could go up less.
I don't believe so.
Right, okay, thanks.
I believe that another thing that might be a problem is if the council were to send it back to us, after we've gotten up and spoken today or whatever, so I don't know. Would that be a problem? There were three or four among us.
I'm not sure how, why that would, I'm not understanding the question.
Would be coming back to us if we, I guess you've already given our opinion.
You've given your recommendation, it comes back, and we just come back to the staff accordingly. So I don't think that would be an issue.
I don't think anyone's ever said that's an issue. Next item on the agenda is the Recreation and Parks Department expenditure and revenue report.
Actually, we were hoping to have some sort of recommendation from item A2 about the commission, if the commission feels like that's a good idea or not.
I'd like to entertain a motion about having representatives at city council meetings. Well, then what happens if I can't give the person the time to not hear or I can't make the meeting? We would have another representative.
Well, we have to decide the terms of the representatives.
I think we can do that at the prior meeting.
Yeah, we want to pick it on each individual case.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say you have to be volunteer depending on our schedules, our communications,
whatever. And maybe the commission wants to entertain that concept of you're going to make the best effort. You know, we, instead of we'll make the best effort to have someone there. And, you know, if you feel uncomfortable with, we will, but we will all the time with the Mondays, that the meetings start on Monday.
Do you want me to change the motion?
It's up to the commission, but that makes the commission feel a little less nervous about having to go. Staff is just pleased that you're interested in attending. So
what is the motion?
Okay, maybe we should draw a motion on start over again. If the seconder will agree to. The Recreation Parks Commission will try to have a representative at the city council meeting when an item is coming from the Recreation Parks Commission.
Second.
Great. Discussion?
We want to add that we'll agree on the Parks and Recreation
Department expenditure and revenue.
This is a report that we put on your agenda just for some information for you in terms of where we are with revenues and expenditures as of January 31st, 2006. Just as a brief background, especially for some of our new commissioners, the Recreation and Parks Department experienced some severe budget reductions for this fiscal year's budget. Initially, the department was in line for approximately $380,000 of cuts, including program services and staffing. And we've attached the information that we provided to, I believe, the city council on those programs. So you have an idea what we cut. After the final budget hearing, the department was refunded approximately $60,000 of that $380,000, and that was to be used specifically for parks and facilities staff and specifically for public restroom cleaning because the council felt that that was certainly a priority. When we looked at the programs that we were going to eliminate and we talked about those programs, with this commission or with the previous commission, unfortunately, many of the programs that we had to cut or we felt were probably the best to cut were the programs that were more the community goodwill programs. Unfortunately, many of those programs, the lighted boat parade, the holly tree lighting, the Easter egg hunt, are programs that unfortunately don't generate revenue, but they do cost to provide to the community. In addition, we did cut some youth programs that generated some revenue, but minimal revenue. The programs that were retained were predominantly the ones that were the big revenue-generating programs. Another challenge that we faced this year was the adjustment of our cost recovery rates for our programs. The commission went through a revenue study earlier in 2005 regarding cost recovery for programs. And when we looked at that cost recovery, we reports program. And then the last challenge that we have for this fiscal year was while we decreased our funding, we increased our revenue projections. and basically, specifically in different divisions, the revenue projections were increased $12,500 in recreational sports, $5,000 in services, $7,000 in facilities, $5,000 in team programs, and $2,000 in the skate park, which made kind of a unique situation for the department. When we're looking at where we are in terms of revenues and expenditures, we are fairly pleased with the outcome so far. In reviewing the numbers through January of 2006, approximately 58% of the year has passed to date. The revenues are recorded as we go through each program, and the revenues don't necessarily come equally throughout the year. For instance, if we have a large program in July and then don't have anything and until September or October, those revenues aren't going to come in equally. They're going to come in bunches. So that always makes things look interesting. When we're looking at the revenues that we've received to date, we're not concerned, really. We don't have any area that we're concerned about at this point. And when we're looking at revenues and expenditures, for the most part, they should be within 5 to 10% of each other. So we're fairly close. I think the one exception is the facilities division, and that is because in the facilities division, they expend a significant amount of money at the beginning of the year for bulk supplies, and then throughout the year, their revenues come in. So facilities may appear to be more spent or overspent in relation to how much percent of the year has gone by. We put the information for 500. We're at 50% of that goal, at 58% of the year, so we're a little slightly behind there. And we're at about 55% spent in terms of our supplies and services. So again, fairly close. In the facilities division, you can see there we've got a little bit more of a gap. We've generated 48% of our revenue for the facilities division, and we've spent 59% of our budget. Again, not too concerned because we spend in bulk at the beginning of the year. The 48% of revenues in facilities is a little bit low at this point. We should be around 58. Again, we'll keep track of that as the year goes on, but not too concerned about that at this point. In teen programs, and that's predominantly the teen center, we are about 46% of revenue generated, and we're 54% spent. Mostly the revenue at the teen center revolves all around snack bar. So we don't charge for people to go to the teen center, but for the most part, it's snack bar. Maybe a little. We took a couple of teen trips this year, so we've got we are only expected to generate $5,000 of revenue, and we're right about in the middle there. And then lastly, the skate park. We're at 43% of the revenue generated. We are asked to generate $5,000 at the skate park. We've generated about $2,100, and we've spent 38%. And that really talks a little bit about the scheduling and the time of year and the hours that we're open. And as we go into daylight savings time, we're open more hours, so we expect those numbers to go up. So overall, we're fairly happy with where we are this year. I did attach each program analysis of service reduction to this, so you can see where we've cut our programs, just for your information. And again, this is an informational report. We'll ask you to receive it for file, but I'm happy to answer questions if you have them.
More voluntary staff. I, for one, would go down there and spend a couple hours to open it up early. There are people waiting to use it, but most people can't access it because it's closed too often. I think we could, be over that percentage where we're sitting at right now if we just opened it 2 hours earlier on Saturday. Or Sunday, it would work.
We can certainly look at that, and we are open to volunteers. What we would probably do is have a volunteer staff a regular staff person. And not that the volunteers aren't normal either, but that's certainly a possibility. With our budget restrictions, with the money that we have budgeted, we can't open any more hours if we have extra expenditures. So certainly volunteers would be the way to go. And if you're interested or you have other people that are interested, definitely let's talk.
Okay.
Any other comments?
I have one question about the tides. Have we seen any real reduction in people coming into the facilities because of the tides being on the web and not handout?
That's a question that we talked about at the very beginning of the year, and it's not something that I'm prepared to answer. I think the tides has been on the web for such a short time that it's
it's a little bit hard to look at. In terms of revenue, in terms of revenue generation, I don't see a huge reduction. So I think I'd like to wait a couple more months to kind of take a look at that. We've got some real positive response from it being on the website. So far, if they come in and we don't have the Tides publication anymore, they'll be able to access the city website and look at the Tides online here in the office. It's not going to help you when you're at home without a computer, but it's one step in that direction. So let's come back to that. I'll talk to staff a little bit because I don't have a good answer for you.
Thank you.
Andrea, have you had any feedback about eliminating the kids' camp and the kickbacks?
We've had a lot of feedback about elimination of the kickbacks and the teen dances. A lot. I would probably say 40 or 50 comments on those types of things because there's programs specific for teens, the middle school group, and in some respects the high school group. Lots of comments there, and mostly from that age group. Middle school students calling and asking when our next kickback is going to be or our next teen dance is going to be. Also with the summer camp program, or excuse me, the spring program and the winter program, mm-hmm. We did have some comments and some frustration. We've seen that there have been other child care programs in this area that have stepped up and offered programs during that time period. And we have seen some parents switch entirely from our program to those other programs that offer the care consistently throughout the year, but we haven't seen a huge switch. So a few comments. And, of course, I think it's important to note that while we have eliminated some of our community special events, we have had community members and groups step up and offer the Light a Boat Parade, the Holiday Tree Lighting, and the Easter Egg Hunt is going to be offered by separate groups. So I think that that's something that certainly needs to be said. The community has stepped up.
Able to start those up again.
Exactly. We need some paid staff. And we could certainly use some volunteers for that. We go back a little bit to the whole ability to organize the event. It's not just the people that work the event, but it's the person that takes care of the organizational aspects. So, but those have certainly been a big gap in our programming for the last year.
Is there any way the teens could step up and organize the event somewhat, if the schools have any student representatives who want to assist in organizing those type of events? So I know sometimes we underestimate how much they can do if they want.
That certainly could happen. At this point, we haven't actively sought that out, but certainly it's a possibility. You're correct. We're actually we're starting the budget process for next year.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Has anyone given a lot of thought about the long-term effects of preventative maintenance delay on the buildings and on the parks?
It's interesting that you bring that up. Our park superintendent said just a couple of days ago that he's starting to notice, even though it's only been 8 months, he's starting to notice things. Now, he's going to notice things that we're probably not. But if we continue on down this path, absolutely, and it's a topic of conversation, but it hasn't risen to the level of funding concern at this point.
When will our budget proposals be discussed, because we still have the issue of your half-time salary that was held over from last year.
I know that our revenues are due fairly soon, which is it's not a huge part of the budget, but it's not a huge part of preparation for us because we're looking at flat revenues at this point. I'm not sure when the initial expenditure budgets are due. I believe the end of March, the beginning of April. I think the first budget hearing, though, is not until May. Oh, I don't have my schedule. I've got a budget hearing scheduled for May 25th, but there may be one prior to that. So we're gonna be, you know, getting things ready here in the next, I'd say, month and a half.
Okay, you'll keep us posted.
I will keep you posted.
And that will be addressed. That 40%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I would appreciate a motion for file for this report. This report.
I move that we accept agenda item A3 for file.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Okay. Next item is consideration of canceling
event. We might as well just wait till May. Now that the commission has brought up the budget issues, we may want to try to, if people are available, we might try to reschedule for April 6th, if that's going to work for people, or I'm certainly available on other days. I would hesitate. Generally, I have a staff. Sometimes Joe Woods takes over the meeting, but with budget issues and specific questions, probably be best if I was here. Does
the
commission have any feelings?
I can make it to an alternate meeting. No problem. We should probably reschedule it.
Yeah. April 6th, I can make. Stan?
I'm not sure if I can make it, but if I'm here, I'll make it.
April 6th? I think we have the consensus, Andrea.
Okay. Oh, you should make a motion.
Okay. Someone make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we move the April 13th meeting to April 6th, Thursday.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Okay. Unfinished business. B1, Recreation Parks Department status report.
Seems like our status report is getting longer and longer. just a quick review. We, again, include the information about the teen center being open Tuesday through Thursday, 3 to 7, and Saturdays, 1 to 10. Our participation at the Teen Center continues to be great, and that's it's going well. The skate park winter hours, as Commissioner Hensley pointed out, we are during this winter we're not open a lot of hours at this. At the printout, we're at approximately 65% of the year, and so at this point, the budget is holding very well. We're approximately 43% spent. At this point, I don't have any areas of concern beyond that of water. While water is underspent at this point, it should be underspent at this point. So we'll keep you posted on that situation. Other than that, nothing outstanding on the cloisters printout. We are managing with our youth services staffing. As the commission is aware, we've been battling with staffing our youth services programs, which are the teen center, the skate park, and the kids club program. At this point, as you will recall, a few months ago, we had a full-time staff person, our recreation supervisor, out working at the site, and we have been staffed up, so she is no longer there, and she's back in the office, which is great. So right now, things are going well, and we're crossing our fingers that that continues. We have put the Tides on the web, the Tides web guide online, and it's able to be viewed at www.morrow-bay.ca.us. One of the pluses about being on the web is that we're able to update it on a monthly basis. We update it on a monthly basis and then do an overhaul every 3 months. So it's with the printed guide, once it was printed, obviously we couldn't make changes. So that's been certainly a positive about the web guide. We do have cards that we are giving out to all our customers. Long task. It's going to continue on for a little while. I think we'll probably be ready to go online with the online registration. Probably, I'm not going to look at Barbara, probably in the end of April. But it's going well. We're excited about that. We're going to be doing some marketing efforts about our registration, our online registration program. And again, just for your information, the reason we've gone from our old computer registration system to the new one is that our old system, after 15 years, was no longer supported with tech support. So we needed to move on. And I think it'll be a good move. So we'll keep you posted on that. You may have noticed the information kiosk in the lobby for our solar project. The project is done. We're looking at reimbursement for that, and we'll be finished with that particular project. But I did include, again, on the table, some printouts, and these are the ones that say they look like Moro Rock. And these are printouts. These are actual printouts from our panels for solar energy and how the kilowatt hours are generated. And we have monthly printouts. We've included October, November, December, and January. So you can kind of see that starting the very top graph that we have, starting at 8 o'clock, there's not much generated. And as we go through the day, the peak generation is generally between 1 and 3 p.m. Kind of interesting how it works. If you look at the bottom graph on the printout, you can look at each day and generally tell what foggy days or cloudy days there were. There was not a lot of generation. This is information we actually have not shared with the council, but we need to. And you can look at each month and see the activity that's happening. We'll be, at the end of this fiscal year, have put panels on this building. We'll bring to you the printouts just so you can have them. Again, it's kind of interesting information. We hope at some point to put some sort of additional information on the kiosk to look at, you know, what are you generating now, so people can look at the actual hour, the actual day, and see what sort of generation there is. The foundation we talked a little bit about and the events that are happening there. Our youth basketball season is winding down. We have given out some sportsmanship awards, some team name awards. Some of the divisions are done. Some are still playing. There was a question a couple months ago about our numbers in youth basketball because we're down. We had about 250 kids play last year. We have about 198 this year. I talked to our recreation supervisor, Karen Sweeney, and she basically said that the big division that we've lost children in is our 7th and 8th grade sports, 7th and 8th grade age teams. Last year, I think we had 4 girls teams. This year, we had 2. Our teams are a little bit smaller this year than they were last year. So that's where we're really seeing the decrease in middle school, which is kind of interesting. There's no particular decrease from Morro Bay or from Los Osos. It's really just in general in middle school level. Could be attributed to other activities going on. But our 3rd and 4th grade and our 5th and 6th grade are basically the same participation. At one point, we talked a little bit about another organization coming in and offering the program in Los Osos. And actually, even though there were advertisements for another agency to offer a youth basketball program, they ended up with very few children. So that was not a reason for our program's numbers to go down. So just information. The city council has amended the board and commission bylaws, and they amended the bylaws in terms of attendance. So I thought I would just let the commission know that basically on the 27th of February, they passed a resolution which amended amended requirements regarding attendance to this. Absence of a board member from 3 consecutive meetings or 4 meetings in any consecutive 12-month period will constitute a voluntary resignation of an absent member, and the position will be declared vacant. Basically, they just cleaned up the language a little bit. So you're looking at 3 consecutive or 4 absences in a current year. Before, they had talked about excused absences versus unexcused. Now it's just absence. And that was adopted, just so you know that. I think the only other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about is that Commissioner House mentioned the off-leash dog park. We took your status report. You forwarded a recommendation in September concerning the dog park, an off-leash dog park, and indicated in that recommendation that this commission felt that there was not an area in Morro Bay that would serve as a dog park that wouldn't affect the public in some way or residents in some way. We took a status report to the city council, and they ended up making a motion concerning dog parks, which basically the city council, after a discussion, decided to officially designate the northwest corner of Del Mar Park for an off-leash dog park, and in the interim use the tennis court site and direct staff to look into insurance methods and forming a nonprofit group. And that was a 5-0 vote by the City Council. At this point, we have had some initial conversations regarding the risk of the city operating a facility. I would anticipate that when we talked to, I'll go backwards. When we talked about the northwest corner of Del Mar Park several years ago at this commission meeting, and then forwarded that to City Council, there was a number of individuals that came out and spoke against that area. So I would anticipate, because I've been contacted by a couple of residents on Island Street, I would anticipate that they may be speaking to the City Council about that designation. So we'll, at this point, we will be talking to the dog group about forming a nonprofit and probably limiting it to that at this time, just to keep you updated on that. I think that in terms of staff's report, that covers what we're doing. I'm happy to answer specific questions if you have them on programs and services.
Andre, you told me to remind you that you were going to try to get an RSVP person for the front desk.
Oh, thank you. One of the things that we've done, you notice if you walk into our lobby, we used to operate the front office in our lobby, and with our staffing reductions, we've pulled everybody upstairs just to make it work better, and we actually lost the person that ran that office. So we've been working with the existing staff. One of the things that we're doing is looking at a couple of different community groups that are currently working in this building, such as Meals on Wheels, to see if they would be interested in using that office. But we will be looking for a volunteer to sit in that front office to direct traffic, for information dissemination, because I'm not happy with the way it looks when you walk in. It looks closed, and it looks a little vacant. And
I had a quick question, and I apologize if I'm rehashing something from the past. It's in connection with the community pool. Was there any discussion about including the pool into the teen center remodel to group two ideas in one? Was that discussed at all?
That's a good thing to bring up, and actually it's something else I needed to remind the council about. When we started working on the master site plan for the teen center, one of the things we looked at, we went through two or three, I think, public workshops on what to put back there, and a pool did come up. One of the problems with putting a pool in that location is that it would really exclude any other uses, and there were so many people. We went to in the public workshop that we had, we did the everyone has a dot, and everyone gets 5 dots, and you have a list of things that people wanted, and they range from a skate park to a pool to a hedge maze to a climbing wall. We had all sorts of things. And then what happened is we went through and we listed things, and then all the participants, and there were probably about 45 people at that initial public hearing put their dots where they wanted to, and the top 3 or 4 things that came out were the things that ended up on our site master plan. So there was some discussion. We are working very slowly at this point, but we are working with a couple of different organizations in the possibility of a pool on the high school site. But it's slow going at this point, but it's certainly going forward. So there's been some discussion, and I also wanted to throw out that we are taking on Monday night the teen center master plan to the city. I think we'll be fine.
Is it a public hearing?
It's a public hearing, and it's approval of a site plan or the master plan. We haven't gone before any other boards or commissions at this point, because as we get funding for the project, then we will go through all the appropriate boards and commissions, and probably that's where we'll need a lot of help. But at this point, it's just a master plan based on the public workshops. And I think did a pretty good job working with RRM design group on making sure that the public was involved in that process that took the place over really 2004, 2005.
But that was actually my other question, is when was the plan made? I was wondering if it was before or after the group knew that the Lucissa skateboard park was being built. I just found it, it's been on my mind, because they built such a big park that attracts a lot of residents from Morro Bay. It's a wonderful park. It's a fantastic park. And I was wondering, are we wasting
resources.
Space and resources, building a similar park right here, very close to OSSS. Are we competing with the Joneses? I'm not sure. when we could maybe use that space for things we don't already have, i.e. the pool. But I understand also the fact that a pool would be prohibitive of any other.
That's an interesting comment. We were aware that the Los Osos Skate Park was going in. In fact, the designer for the Los Osos Skate Park was also the designer for this skate park. Mm-hmm. When you look at the two skate parks, and probably Commissioner Hensley can give us a better idea because it sounds like he's a skater, but they're pretty different.
Like she said, the new park will be more linear, where you can skate from one end to the other and go through everything. As we're in the Los Osos Skate Park, there's several different aspects to it where you actually have to get up and move over to certain parts. So it will attract the skaters, and I think it'll be a significant source of revenue.
I think that's a good question, though. Isn't Cayucas trying to put in a new skate park, too?
I think so. Oh, yes. You know, it's interesting with skate parks because I think that back in the 60s or the 70s, I think that the thought was this has got to be a fad and it's going to go away. But it seems like we're not only seeing new young skaters, we're seeing older skaters and dads and moms that are still skating. So really, we all talk, all the recreation parks directors in this area talk, and certainly the thought is that there are enough skaters to support all these different skate parks. I think if we were duplicating what Los Osos did, then I think that would be a problem. Mm-hmm. But we really not. It's really a unique type of skate park. So I don't think that's not the feeling that we get from the general skating public that it's overkill. In fact, it's interesting that the city of San Luis, as big as they are, don't have a skate park. They have a port of, like, similar to ours with equipment like that. The city of Atascadero just opened an indoor skate park with skate wave equipment. So they have the same equipment that we have, but it's indoors. So it's kind of a unique thing, and I don't anticipate that they're going to go in the direction of a cement park. I know that Cayucas is working on a master plan for their skate park, but I think that's kind of where they are. The other thing that we're hoping designer to give us the possibility of how can we develop this in phases, because the possibility of developing it all at once, unless we have some sort of windfall, is not very probable. But the possibility of developing it in phases over maybe 8 to 10 years is certainly possible. So that's another plus with what we're doing. So I think in terms of duplicating, I think that we're fairly safe.
Do we ever reach a saturation point, though? Everybody's building a skate park.
Well, I'm sure at some point we would reach a saturation point. I don't think that we're close at this point.
Any other questions? I accept the motion for file.
Second.
No.
Motion to accept the report for file.
Second.
Second. Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Next, we have citizens' reports and correspondence.
We have a couple things. We have the report. We generally get a report from the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee, and you can go ahead and take a look at that. Hopefully, most of you were able to check out the tour of California as they came through Morro Bay. That was a pretty phenomenal sight. Hopefully, you were able to see that. The other thing that we've attached... Every once in a while, I try to pull things out of some of the publications that I get, and I thought that this was kind of an interesting, or really interesting article. We're talking about advocacy for parks and recreation programs and how important it is to make sure that we get our message out and continue to get our message out about how important the services that we provide are. And this is just some information about the importance and value of public parks. I apologize because the Coastal Commission hearing was yesterday, and today I meant to contact Bill Boucher about the results of that meeting, and I don't have them. So I don't know the result. I believe that it was approved with some conditions, but I don't know, and I apologize. I meant to get that information before our meeting. I believe I think this was the second or third time that they had gone to the Coastal Commission on that project. But I'll certainly bring that back to you in your April meeting.
Okay. Has anyone asked how much it's going to cost to maintain the boardwalk once it's put in on an annual basis?
They looked at the, yes, that this commission brought that up, and it was forwarded on to the Public Services Department. I do know that they've taken out, or I believe that the final plan was to take out much of the plantings along the boardwalk, a lot of the maintainable plants and that sort of thing. I believe they have numbers on that, Commissioner House, but I'm not sure, and maybe we can bring that back in April.
Now, do we have to do this for file?
It would be great.
I have a motion.
I move to accept the bicycle committee report for file.
All those in, oh, I need a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Reports.
These participation reports are for January 2006, and in individually, I don't have any particular comments on the reports. However, I am happy to answer questions. Our participation is we're fairly pleased with our youth services participation. Our sports is a little bit down, and we've talked a little bit about that. And our hours to date use in facilities is slightly down. I would
because it's on a computer.
But you do. I'm happy to answer questions. That you do need to accept these for file.
I move that we accept these reports.
Any questions that anybody have?
No.
I move that we accept these reports for file.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. We have no. I have no report from the seniors because they're not meeting till next week. Do any other commissioners have anything that they would like to report?
Nope.
We have no public hearings. Any declaration of future agenda items? Anything that anyone would like to see come before us?
I have something.
Uh-oh.
I would like to know, what is the status of this property next to the school that they were supposed to have to, they had 3 to 5 years to determine what to do with when it wasn't a school. It's been about 3.5 or 4 years now. So, does the city have the right of first refusal? And if not, what is the school, what's their plans for that? You know, they've been using a lot of their property for a lot of things, and they've been selling it for housing and everything else.
We'll bring that back.
Thank you.
Anything else? And I'll take a motion for adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.